Chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Now, about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then, when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. After I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you for a while, or even spend the winter, so that you can help me on my journey, wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. When Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he's with you, for he's carrying on the work of the Lord, just as I am. No one, then, should treat him with contempt. Send him on his way in peace, so that he may return to me. I'm expecting him along with the brothers. Now about our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to submit to such people and to everyone who joins in the work and labours at it. I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you. For they refreshed my spirit, and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. All the brothers and sisters here send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. If anyone does not love the Lord, let that person be cursed. Come, Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Il Ho. I'm quite new. I'm going to preach today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And please speak to us and give us ear to hear your word for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just imagine a world-class orchestra with the finest musicians and each playing their part, some on the violin and others on cello, trumpet, and any other. But something is off. They are playing different songs. Each performs skillfully, but the sound is dissonant, because there is no unity, no common melody. This is the Corinthian church, gifted, active, but lacking one essential quality, love. Chapter 13, Paul tells us, without love, we are just a noisy gong. Now, as he ends the letter, he tells the truth, the church, do everything in love, in verse 14. And Paul reminds them and us that all we do must be motivated by love for the Lord and his people. At first glance, chapter 16 is primarily about instructions and final greetings, but it carries profound truths about how we are to love others as we love the Lord Jesus. Paul does not talk about love in a general sense, but he shows us how love is woven through giving, plan, service, sacrifice, and support, all of which are ways that we show our love for the Lord by loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. Just imagine we are the Corinthian church family in my sermon today. We are divided. Some of you love Paul, others Apollos, Peter, and Jesus. Some are morally messy. Others have conflict with the leaders because of misusing the gift of the Holy Spirit and misunderstanding the doctrine of the resurrection. As a member of the Corinthian church, you may view the church in a negative light. It may not be easy to look at the eyes of the leaders or others who are not on the same page you are. Attending Sunday gatherings and small groups may not be easy either. You are not happy. You are distressed. What should we do? In difficult times, we should be careful not to be individualistic, selfish, or driven by emotion. When we walk with the Lord, amazing transformation happens in us to love others as we love the Lord Jesus. We see the Lord Jesus living within church family members. Chapter 16 is Paul's final words in response to us. This is vitally important and should be taken seriously if we are to overcome all the difficulties and move on to give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord, which should be not in vain because of our hope in the Lord who is coming, as you are taught in chapter 15. And this is what Paul says in verse 22. If anyone does not love the Lord, let that person be cursed. Come, Lord. This is Paul's final word before his usual closing benediction. These strong words are not for unbelievers, but believers, for us. It is a wake-up call to the Corinthian church family. Let's not harden our hearts with this word. Here is why Paul says so. Loving the Lord Jesus is the only solution to all our difficulties. Loving the Lord Jesus makes us love all his people, whether you follow Paul, Apollos, or Peter. We will be reconciled with everyone in the church if we love the Lord Jesus. We can forgive others who oppose us and disagree with us if we love the Lord Jesus. Look at the Lord Jesus and love him. We will be blessed. What does it look like loving the Lord Jesus in chapter 16? I have 3 points from the text today. The first, love in giving. Second, love in plan and service. Third, do everything in love. Let's look at the first one, love in giving. One of the best examples of loving brothers and sisters as we love the Lord is generous giving to fellow brothers and sisters in need. Paul speaks not only about giving to meet practical needs, but also about giving as an act of love that unites the body of Christ. In verse 1 to 4, Paul instructs the Corinthian church to collect money for poor believers in Jerusalem church. He sets some principles for giving. It should be planned in advance, not spontaneously. In verse 2, collection is to be made on Sunday, the first day of the week. Giving is an act of service to the Lord. And it is also personal. In verse 2, each one of us should set aside. And it is proportional, a sum of money in keeping with our income, saving it up. And it is prepared so that when Paul comes, no collection will have to be made. Paul's instruction implies everyone in the church should willingly and wholeheartedly plan and premeditate giving for brothers and sisters in need, because we love them as we love the Lord Jesus. This offering isn't just meeting financial needs. It is building bridges between brothers and sisters in Christ. Look at verse 3 and 4. Then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. Gentile believers in Corinth are helping Jewish believers in Jerusalem, people they have never met, only because they share the same Savior, same Lord. We see the Lord Jesus in them, and we love them because we love the Lord Jesus. No other reason. Love in giving is a blessing because it shows that we really love the Lord Jesus. When we give, whether it is our time, our resources, or our talents, it is an offering to the Lord because we love the Lord Jesus. Let our giving be shaped not by pressure or grumbling, but by love for the Lord who gave himself completely for us and for our brothers and sisters. Love unites us as the body of Christ. Secondly, love in serve and planning. In verse 5 to 12, we see a glimpse of Paul's heart, a heart full of love in both service and planning for the Lord and his people. This passage teaches us how love is not only expressed in what we do, but in how we plan and serve with others in mind. In verse 5 to 7, Paul has plans, but more than travel logistics. He longs to be with the Corinthians. He isn't rushing through ministry. His love wants presence, not just productivity. Love takes time. It doesn't treat people like an appointment to be checked off, but like relationships to be cultivated. Do we make a space in our life to truly be with brothers and sisters because we love the Lord and them? Do our plans prioritize presence, not just progress? Paul's willingness to stay, even spend the winter with them, reveals that he values brothers and sisters over efficiency. Love serves where the door is open, even when it's hard. Look at verse 8 to 9. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me. There are many who oppose me. Paul chooses to remain in Ephesus because God has opened a door there. But notice that open door comes with opposition. Yet love for the Lord and his people there compels him to stay, not for comfort, but for the work of the Lord. The love doesn't look for the easiest path. It follows God's open plans, even when they are difficult. Paul's heart is with the Corinthian church family, but he doesn't follow his desire, but God's will and plan. Love does not follow our hearts and desires, but God's will and plan. Are we avoiding service because it's inconvenient or uncomfortable, or our hearts does not want that? Are we willing to stay and serve where God has opened a door, even when challenges arise and when it is against our desire and heart? The world says to us, follow your heart. But Jesus says, deny yourself and pick up the cross daily and follow me. It is radically different if we love the Lord Jesus and his people in our plan and service. Love honors and supports fellow brothers and sisters. Paul talks about sending Timothy to Corinth in verse 10 to 11. He wants to send him to correct them. In the Corinthian church, Timothy is not famous at all. Some love Paul, Apollos, and Peter, not Timothy. Paul's concern isn't just for himself. He cares deeply about Timothy, a young and timid leader. Paul urges Corinthians to welcome him with love, respect, and peace when he comes to correct them. Love lifts others up in ministry. It defends, supports, and encourages fellow workers in the Lord. Are we actively supporting those who serve alongside us, or quietly criticizing them or treating them with contempt? How do we treat younger or less experienced leaders in the faith? Timothy's ministry matters to him, Paul, because love values people, God's people. I and my family are deeply grateful for your love and support and prayer, even if you don't know me well. We only just met and seen each other for a few times. The welcome pack was full of love, with heartfelt welcome greetings and hope for our settlement in Crouch End Church. Some of you cook in turn for our family for 8 days. You work, you have little babies and young children to look after. You are busy, and yet you are willing to cook for my family. Every meal meant a lot to my family. Why? Because you love the Lord Jesus, and you see the Lord Jesus in me and my family. Because you love the Lord Jesus, you are willing to sacrifice your time, money, and talents for church family members. When you serve brothers and sisters, you serve the Lord Jesus, who loves them and cares for them. You love the Lord Jesus. You are so blessed. Come, Lord Jesus. Love gives room for God's timing in others' life. Look at verse 12. Now about our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity. Paul strongly urged Apollos to visit the Corinthian church. I am sure he prayed about it, and he said, it is not the right time now, but there will be a right time. Apollos is famous among Corinthian church family. Some love him and fully support him. He is recognized as a good Bible teacher. Humanly speaking, he may want to go and build up his influence there. Maybe it is an opportunity to make more people love him more. But he knows that it will be disastrous if he goes now. It could be more divisive rather than uniting among church family because of him. If he goes this time, It makes everything difficult. Keeping a distance from them for now, it's much wiser and better for the church. Apollos does not follow his desire for his influence and fame, but God's will and timing. Paul does not have rivalry or jealousy with fellow workers. His interest is in building the body of Christ. Even when Paul strongly urged him, Apollos, to visit Corinth, he respected Apollos' decision. Paul does not manipulate or control. He trusts God to guide his fellow workers. Love is not controlling. It gives room for others to follow God's leading, even if it's not on our timeline or plan or way of doing things. We love the Lord Jesus. Do you give our church family members freedom, room to follow the Lord's call and Lord's will? Do we expect them to fit into our plans? Are we patient with God's timing in someone else's journey? Love plans in submission to God's will, not ours. And respect others who do the same. Lastly, do everything in love. In verse 13, Paul gives a series of military-style commandments. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. All of these speak to courage and firmness on the truth. But then he says in verse 14, do everything in love. This is important. Truth without love is harsh. Love without truth is building a castle on sand. Paul says, you need strength, but make sure it is loving strength. Being bold in truth does not mean being harsh. Being loving does not mean being soft on sin. In the church family, we don't have to choose between strength and love. We need both. Are there examples we can follow? Yes. We have Stephanas in verse 15 to 18. Paul points to Stephanas and his household as examples. What sets them apart? They are early believers, first fruit of Paul's ministry in Achaia. They uphold biblical truth. They are strong in the faith. And look at verse 15. We see that they devote themselves to the service of the Lord's people. No seeking titles, but giving time and resources, clearly because they love the Lord Jesus and his people. They are blessed and exemplary. Their love is active. They refreshed and encouraged Paul. In verse 19, Paul names Aquila and Priscilla, as faithful workers. They are tent makers by trade, the same as Paul. Paul met them in Corinth. Later they ministered in Ephesus and then Rome. They used their work to serve God and his people. They opened their home to church family. They risked their lives for the gospel. They disciple others. They are strong in the faith, but do everything in love, because they love the Lord Jesus and his people. Paul urges church family to honor such people, to submit them, not because of status, but because of their love-driven service of the Lord and his people. Do we value those who quietly serve others with truth in love? Or do we look for leaders with charisma? Or those who labor on biblical truth in love? Let's honor those whose lives are marked by humble sacrificial love because they love the Lord Jesus and his people. Paul ends this letter reminding the Corinthians that they are not isolated. The body of Christ is broad and beautiful and loving. Other believers love them and are thinking of them, and Paul mentions house churches in different area in Asia. He urged them to greet one another warmly, affectionately, as family. My parents in South Korea, they remember you in their prayer daily. You don't know me, they don't know you. Just because they love the Lord Jesus. They are related to us as the body of Christ. Paul's final words are not random instructions. They are practical, tangible expressions of love for fellow brothers and sisters as we love the Lord Jesus. How can you not love the Lord Jesus, King of the universe, who left all his glory in heaven, came down to earth, loved me, love you, love me, such a sinner like me. He considered us more precious than his own life. You are so precious in his eyes. He laid down his life. He rose again. He will come again to raise us up from the dead. He will give us immortal, imperishable body in a blink of an eye. For us to live with him eternally in the new heaven and new earth. How can you not love him? This is what Jesus says about how we love him. In John chapter 14, verse 21, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Let's love the Lord Jesus with all our hearts and minds and strength. We will be blessed. Really, we will be blessed. We'll be loved by the Father and the Lord Jesus. We will see his glory as promised. Here we have his commands in chapter 16. Let's keep them. We'll be blessed. Let's love one another as we love the Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We are weak, but you are strong. Help us love you with all our hearts and minds and strengths. Help us love one another for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.